is never work if you're with Casey at work on 107.7.
Indeed, you are. Welcome back. You're on KC107.7. And today we're celebrating World Press Freedom Day and by discussing the state of media and freedom of speech in South Africa. Joining me are two distinguished guests, Nishat Khan, a seasoned media publisher, and Anita Makaba, publisher of the Zindaba, a local newspaper. Let's delve into the experiences and insights on this important topic. Good morning to my beautiful guests.
Good morning.
Nishat, can I pose the first question to you, if you don't mind? Just give us a little bit of feedback of who you are and what you are doing before we go into the questions.
Yeah, I'm Nishat Khan. I am currently the general manager at KC107.7, but I come with a media background that spans almost 30 years. I've worked across all the major media houses in South Africa. I've also published a newspaper for 16 years, from 2004 to 2020. I had editions in Durban, Joburg, and Cape Town. So I've done a bit of publishing in the print sector. I then did a production of a television series on Cape Town TV for 5 series. And then for the last 2 years, I'm now with KC107.7.
Wow, I'm humbled to be in the presence of such beautiful, profile people. Anita, and you?
Yes, I'm Anita Mangaba, the publisher of Dizindaba Media, which publish a newspaper called Dizindaba Iphephandaba lesiXhosa, which is circulated in most of the townships, Khayelitsha, Langa, Guguletu, up to Strand, and we do the Cape Winelands, where we go as far as Ashton. We circulate our publication on a fortnight basis, 10,000 copies per edition. We started in 2010. And we are still going strong, yes.
that's the way to go. Nishat, as a seasoned media publisher, could you share with us your perspective on how the landscape of press freedom has evolved over the past 3 decades in South Africa, particularly in the context of the country's journey towards democracy?
Thank you, Ingrid, for having us here. I think it's an important day that we recognize, especially for those of us that are media practitioners, you yourself. We have a powerful tool in our hands, mm-hmm. but we also have a responsibility to make sure that we cover the news in a balanced way. I must say, you know, South Africa, we come from a dark past, but 3 decades later, I think we definitely have changed. The landscape of press freedom in South Africa has undergone significant transformation, and that has led our journey towards democracy so much better. And following the end of apartheid, there was this sense of optimism. We all thought, you know, everything's going to be free and we're going to live this better life. Yes, in some ways we do have that freedom, and yes, we do have a better life. And so, you know, free media was a key to and one of the pillars of our democracy. And that's important for us to always remember that, you know, what we fought for and what we have and how we use it is really in our hands and our power. We should not just point fingers at government, because as media, we also have a role to play. So one of the most notable changes has been the shift in media regulations. You know, in the past, there was laws like censorships and Publication Act and all of those things, and those things limited us to speak freely, and it was terrible, terrible, terrible. And so I think in the democracy, a lot of regulations have been repealed. They've managed to dismantle all of these oppressive regulations. You know, one of the harshest one was the Publications Act. And I think there was such good content that was just not allowed for us to consume. And in the new South Africa, now suddenly all of that is open and available to us. The other good thing about press freedom that we now enjoy in South Africa, and it's part of our constitution, is that we are allowed to hold government accountable. Mm. And if you look at media broke the story on corruption. And, you know, so those are the kind of things that where press freedom is allowed and you are protected for freedom of speech. At least you can have a voice and you can do that. We have, I must say, in the last 30 years, attempts at regulation to try and sort of intimidate the media. There have been attempts to try and silence the media. But civil society and media have stood strong and have really tested it all the way to the highest court of the land. So I think we have a robust media in South Africa. The role of media in shaping public discourse since the end of apartheid cannot be overstated. And so I think it's important for us to firstly appreciate what we do have in terms of media freedom in South Africa, and we, with the rest of the world, celebrate today.
Thank you, Nashad. Anita, as a local publisher, what are some of the most significant challenges you've encountered in exercising freedom of speech within the media industry, especially at the grassroots level?
Yes, Ingrid, I just want to say I'm not just standing as the publisher of Dizindaba today. I'm also standing as the representative of AIP, which is the Association of Independent Publishers, that represent over 200 publishers like myself in the country. And today, on this day, we are actually launching the emergency campaign, media campaign, where we want to encourage our readers and our listeners that we should preserve media, especially local media. And because of the current financial constraints that we experiencing as publishers, our voice are being silenced little by little, and our communities are not aware of these challenges that we face as media houses. However, now today we're celebrating World Freedom, Press Freedom Day. We have a press council that regulates us, that ensures that the coverage that we put out there is authentic, and where even readers can engage if they are not happy with what we publish. They can approach the press council and lay their complaints. As small publishers, the challenge that we face is that finances handicaps us to do investigative journalism. When I say investigative journalism, I'm talking about going in that in-depth stories, like the story that was broke by one of our publishers, Ground Up, which is owned by Nathan. And that was a great milestone for us as local publishers, because that story was broken by a local publisher, which means that is the power that we have as local publications. And What we do as publications, especially us at Dizindaba, we ensure that the content that we put out there, we fact checked it, we edit it, then we would publish it. We never place anything that would diminish another person, or maybe look down at another race, or talk down at another religion, or we don't publish stuff like that. In an article by Stuart Dixon, republished by Pranola Govan of the University of Johannesburg, she quotes, she said, she's from the Freedom House, she said, Freedom House says the country has a vibrant and adversarial media landscape. This is a far cry from the suppression of journalism during apartheid, when there were about 100 laws that censored the media, which today we are so thankful for, because we are not restricted by those laws anymore. We have the freedom, our communities have the freedom, where they can speak, where they can engage with local media, where they can highlight issues in their communities through our mediums, and that is the freedom that we can celebrate today. So yes, when we talk about the struggles of journalists, yes, journalists do, they still do face safety issues, but I think in this it's better now than what it used to be before, because before they didn't have a voice, they were restricted as to content, they were restricted as to areas where they can get in, but now they have that freedom to move. The only current challenge that that I can say, especially as local media that we face, but even mainstream media, is being robbed in communities, being taken, your tools being taken as journalists. That's the only crime safety that we face in communities. Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Nushad. How do you think advancements in technology and the rise of digital media have influenced press freedom in South Africa, and what opportunities and challenges have emerged as a result?
You know, you used two words in that whole question that ticked me. Digital and influence.
Yes.
You know, I'm old school. I've been in the print media industry for almost half my life. Yeah. So I'm definitely old school. I love radio. And so that takes me into traditional media. However, digital media has brought in a new platform for us, and it's just not one. There's countless number of digital media platforms. I say digital and influence because what has happened is digital media, yes, it's amazing. It allows us to share stories at speed. It allows us to share video content in large volumes with speed. And those are the positives of digital advancement. However, because of that, it puts the power of publishing in the hands of everybody. Mm. And so with that comes danger. That comes fake news. Mm. That comes propaganda. Mm. So it's now, as media professionals, we now need to make sure, is the news credible? How do we fact check? How do we corroborate? Those are the things that are now becoming challenging, because digital media, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, which is now X, Instagram, people are publishing content all the time, from the United Nations, the United States, to India, China. The president's speech is on these platforms. But at the same time, there are people who have propaganda, who have misinformation. And what the sad thing is, the public is not aware. And it's about like and share. You don't think what you're liking and sharing. Yes. I think for me, especially today on World Press Freedom Day, is to say to everybody, you are very, very lucky to have social media and the power in your hands. But be diligent. Mm. When you read something, just do one check. Is it from a credible source? Before you just share, because what's happening is because we are not diligent enough, we become part of a problem. Mm-hmm. So I think, yes, advancement has allowed us to do all of that. I access, if I see or hear there's something on, I will go on social media to corroborate. I will go and fact check to see who else is talking about it. Mm-hmm. And there are so many instances, very simple for you to tell, this is not a true story. Mm-hmm. The other thing, I'm bringing it down local. We have flooding. In the last year, we've had two or three significant flooding in Paul. Recently, we had winds that were destructive. And what people do is they pick up pictures and videos that happened 5 years, 10 years ago. This is just alarming. This is just nonsense. So I think freedom, the power of technology is amazing. Use it properly, because these are tools that can make your life better, it can make people's life better, and it can make our community's life better.
Thank you. Anita, from your perspective, how has the role of community newspapers and grassroots journalism contributed to promoting press freedom and giving voice to marginalized communities in South Africa?
Yes, Ingrid, like I said before, I'm not speaking on behalf of Dizindaba only, but I'm speaking for plus minus 200 publishers around the country, which are members of the Association of Independent Publishers. What makes us unique is the fact that we speak in the language of our communities. We address the issues that pertain them in their mother tongue. They don't just read about someone that they might have never seen or will ever see, but they read about their own community members. They read about people that they can relate to. And this is what is our publications are standing for. We are the solution bringers. We are the mediators. We are the gap fillers between communities and between government, between corporate, with the engagement in between our communities. So most of these publications, they publish in indigenous languages, which means we cover all 11 languages in South Africa through our publications, on the ground, in the community. And like, for example, Dizindaba filled the gap that was non-existent in the Western Cape. There was no Xhosa newspaper in the Western Cape. And up until today, we are still the only Xhosa paper with 99% Xhosa content, which means we breached a gap that was not filled. A community that was not serviced. People that had to go through other means of sourcing information. And that's the important pivotal role that we play as local media. Our story coverage is community news, social news, economic news, political news, religion, and sport. We have published many stories with people's insight of things that affects communities. We have helped counselors accountable through our publication, through the help and the assistance of the communities that we service.
Wow, that's great. Now, Shaud, in your experience, what are some effective strategies that media organizations can employ to defend press freedom and uphold journalistic integrity amidst increasing political polarization and attacks on journalists?
You know, you ask a very, very interesting question because the more opportunities, the more freedom we have, the more challenges that comes with. It's like everything in life. The more money you have, it'll become a challenging situation to live with it. The less you have, it's also a challenge. So it's the same with media. And the advancement of media, is just as I said in my last comment, is that it just opens the doors for so many people to be part of it, but in their own narrow way, shape a narrative. And that's what it is. So my keys would be media literacy. I think that's an important initiative. How do we educate the public about media literacy? It's crucial. It's about enabling individuals how to be able to say between fact and fiction. You know, it's very important to be able to try and let's educate our public that how do you check for poor journalism and poor written content. So that's one of the things. And it's us as media owners that need to do that on an ongoing basis. Then ethical reporting. The other thing here is that because this media world is so open now, you get people that can sit behind a computer, start a website, start a news portal. What they do is they just place content that's free or paid for. Mm-hmm. And so there's no critical journalism here. It's just cut and paste. They understand SEO, they understand technology, and that's it. They got a high traffic website, but the content is not of the quality that will shape and society, and that's important. So ethical reporting, if you say I'm the editor of a newspaper or the editor of a publication online, please then train yourself. Be ethical. Do the right thing. I think fostering a culture of transparency. Aneta just said, you know, as community media, we must hold local government. We must hold our leaders accountable. And so that's an important thing because we found that there are media that would, say, be funded by a municipality. That's their main advertiser. So they become sweetheart media. So they do not want to talk against the mayor or the councillors. And that is bad for our democracy. That is bad for society. That is bad for our readers and listeners because they will not get an objective view. There's no accountability. So I think it's important for us to make sure that we must foster a culture of transparency. Building alliances with civil society. Now, that's another important thing because civil society works on their own for the good of society. Mm. It's important for media houses to foster partnerships or bridge these, make these partnerships because they will tell you what is happening on the ground. They will tell you what is the need. And then you can sit. You know, I always say media, your main source of information is from civil society and local government. As community media, those are your stakeholders, and you need to constantly build those alliances, and so you can get that right. For me, by prioritizing media literacy, adhering to ethical reporting practices, fostering transparency, and building alliances with civil society, media organizations can strengthen their resilience against political polarization and attacks on journalists. These strategies not only safeguard press freedom, but also uphold the integrity and credibility of journalism in serving the public interest.
Thank you so much, Nishad. Aneta, as a publisher operating at the local level, how do you balance the responsibility of providing accurate and unbiased information with the need to address community-specific concerns and interests?
This is very important. It goes back to that where Nishad is saying about everyone is having access to social media and feel that they are now journalists. So as Dizindaba and most of my fellow publishers, we are all independent owned. We are not affiliated with any mainstream and we are not affiliated with any political party, which means the views of all our stakeholders are very important. We have no biased news where we favor the one and not favor the other one. We subscribe to the Press Council in order for us to stay within the right parameters of publishing our stories. We have engagement platforms where we allow our readers to engage with us, to send us their opinions on stories that we publish, even on adverts that we place in our publications. So we have that constant engagement. We attend Imbizos, we attend government
organized meetings and council meetings so that we can have a balanced view of our readers, which is very important. We place no story without reliable sources. We fact check. We make sure that we have our proof. Every fact is checked and then we edit. We make sure then we print. So when we go to print, we know all facts are covered. So yeah, that's very important to us.
Nishad, looking forward and looking ahead, what do you see as the greatest threats to press freedom in South Africa, and what steps do you believe should be taken to address these challenges moving forward?
Ingrid, I think we must be very mindful that we have a government that has attempted in the past to try and curtail media and the freedom through legislation. So I think as media and as civil society, we must guard against that. We must keep our eyes open. Let's just keep doing what we do. And then the other thing is economic pressure. Unfortunately, good journalism is facing a threat because of financial support. It's not coming. Because of the proliferation of digital media, and as I said, anyone can open a website, news content, and just place stuff there. So what's happening is the real investigative journalism, the real newsrooms are battling financially. In fact, large numbers of newsrooms are closing. Large numbers of people are losing their jobs just because civil society, businesses especially, and government is not investing in good journalism. And I think it's because we are questioning it. So I think it's very important that we must be seen as custodians of content or media that bridges what government and corporate or business does with civil society and the people that matter. So we can't be on one side. We have to serve both. So I think it's very important for us to make sure that we look after that. And we've got press freedom in South Africa. We've got freedom of speech. We need to look after that and guard that as closely as possible. But we need all role players, corporate, government, to also back us to make sure that we serve our communities.
Thank you so much, Nishad. Anita, in closing, and we've just got a few seconds to do this, what message would you like to convey to our listeners and regarding the significance of World Press Freedom Day and the role of the media in democratic society like South Africa?
Yes. World Press Freedom Day comes right after Freedom Day. Our country celebrate since the advent of our democracy. It acknowledges that freedom of expression by press functions as clear as to enable the human rights. So for you to have press, it's like a human right. And our communities need to understand the role of media in the democracy is to provide individuals with information to make informed decisions. If there is no community media, if there is no media, you can't have that. And to our listeners and to our readers, if you have no community media in your community, it means you have no voice in your community. It means you have no, you can't interact, you can't raise your opinions, you can't share anything. And just in closing, I just want to say, help us to preserve our local media. Media is the livelihood of our democracy in South Africa. We inform, we educate, we entertain. However, the current financial crisis in media, through the loss of advertising and rising print prices, is threatening the closure of publications and radio stations. We need your help to spread awareness about this issue and about what it means if there is no media in your community.
Thank you very much, Nishad and Neta. This is so informative what you've given through to us. I believe that these questions and the answers that we got was given us a comprehensive answer and maybe to all the questions that we have. And having the Press Freedom Day today in South Africa, especially within us in the media itself, giving us that experience and the insights of what our guests have given through to us for us today. So thank you so much and have a blessed day further.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so yeah, we're getting ready for our news at 10. Stay tuned to KC 107.7.